We'll begin with a prayer. Holy Spirit, we ask that you be with us now as we meditate upon another section of the Word which you've given us for the salvation of our souls. I pray that you open the treasures which are hidden in Scripture to us as only you can do. And strengthen our faith in our Savior as we go in grace and knowledge of Him. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Acts chapter 20, the first 16 verses, Eutychus, a deep sleep. 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning at verse 14, one of the most precious sections in all Holy Writ. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. A little side note, the word child here, from a child thou hast known the Holy Scripture. The little word child in the Greek indicates a newborn baby, one who's nursing. It can also mean one that is still in the womb and not yet born. So whoever says little children can't understand the Bible doesn't know what they're talking about. Because the Holy Spirit gives these little ones faith in Christ, sometimes even when they're in their mother's womb. So, here at Water of Life, we all know the importance of Holy Scripture. It's God's book, written by the Holy Spirit, to God's elect. It's our book, not the heathens. The very small remnant, the bride of Jesus Christ. And we should read all of it, starting at Genesis chapter 1 to Revelation 22, verse 21, at least once during our lifetime here on this earth. And going straight through, not doing a little here and a little then skipping somewhere else. And you take it as the Holy Spirit has given us. You can do this easily within 1 year. If you do this, the Holy Spirit will make it very profitable to you in different ways. If you do this, you will find some chapters that are difficult to read, and you may never want to do this again till death do you part. And that's all right. But others may find the same chapters extremely interesting and instructive and might spend hours studying them. At the same time, chapters that are interesting to you may not be anything special to them. And this tells us something. Jesus meets us where we are. If a man says, Lord, come into my home and heal my child, the Lord will come into his house and heal his child. If another man in a similar situation asks Jesus to heal his servant, and Jesus says, I will come and heal him, and the man says, I'm not worthy to have you come under my roof, but just say the word, and my servant will be healed, then Jesus will do the miracle from a distance. When Jesus healed Peter's mother-in-law, who was sick with a fever, Peter didn't seem all that affected by it. And perhaps for different reasons, I don't know. But when Peter had fished all night and come back empty, and Jesus told him he was fishing on the wrong side of the boat, Peter basically said, "That won't make any difference. But if you say so, I'll fish on the other side of the boat." So he did, and the net was filled of fish. And Peter was tremendously affected by that. "Thou art the Son of God." So Peter wasn't a doctor and didn't know much about healing a fever, but he was a fisherman and he knew about how to catch fish. So Jesus met him where he was. So the Holy Spirit acts in the same way when he writes Holy Scripture. He meets us where we are. So what do we mean by that? Well, scientists tell us that no two snowflakes are alike. I don't know how they know that because they haven't all fallen yet, but they're probably true. On a different level, no two people are alike either, and we have different talents and different interests. And the Holy Spirit works with that. Do you like poetry? The Holy Spirit has poems in Scripture. Do you like music? The whole book of Psalms is yours. Do you like action? David and Goliath are mentioned still in our day and age, what happened down on the floor of the valley that day between a shepherd boy and a giant. And all the different battles in Scripture. Do you like nature? Remember the sparrow. Do you like history? Many chapters, Chronicles and Kings. So all Scripture is precious to us because it's all inspired by the Holy Spirit. But there are some chapters or verses that touch our hearts more than others. And there's nothing wrong with that. The Holy Spirit used Paul to give me a passage in Scripture that's my very favorite one in the whole Bible. But I would rather listen to a flock of geese honking than to listen to what he was saying in the passage we're looking at this morning. I love nature, and the Holy Spirit uses that to bless me. So what am I getting at? Context. When the Holy Spirit used Luke to write the Gospel of Luke and the book of Acts to his friend Theophilus, his friend was having serious doubts about the things that were written about Jesus Christ. So, and this is interesting, Luke wrote the Gospel of Luke for one man. And he wrote the book of Acts for one man, Theophilus. The Holy Spirit uses it to bless all of us. So Luke started his gospel talking to Theophilus, and this is what he said. "For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most assuredly believed among us, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word, it seemed good to me also, having perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed." What's the point? There were many, many, many people writing about the life of Jesus. And some of these had witnessed some of his miracles. And there were many, many, many writings out there about that. And Theophilus had undoubtedly read many of them. But he was confused. He was confused. And so the Holy Spirit chose Luke to inspire the Gospel of Luke and the book of Acts, so that Theophilus could rely upon what the Holy Spirit wrote, not others, what the Holy Spirit wrote, and it saved his soul. Point being, many have taken in hand to write all this stuff. Well, you can see Satan behind that. We're not ignorant of his devices. Satan was spreading confusion, and poor Theophilus was getting totally confused. He didn't know what to believe. And he had all these writings, and, oh, well, that's a good thing, that's a good thing. Not if it's not inspired by the Holy Spirit, it isn't. And it wasn't. That's why Theophilus was getting confused. And enter the Holy Spirit and Luke. Forget about all the other books. To put it another way, burn them. And just stick with Scripture inspired by the Holy Spirit like Timothy did. And you will be just fine. And by the time Luke wrote the book of Acts, Theophilus had been converted and settled through the writing of the Gospel of Luke. We've mentioned this before, but you can see it. All the modern translations, they're of the devil, and they're spreading confusion, just like it was with Theophilus. So here in the book of Acts, Luke, remember, Luke is a historian. And he's giving us a blow-by-blow account of some of the cities Paul has visited, some of the men who were spreading the gospel with him. This is history, and it's accurate history. Luke is the one who wrote, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria." And for years, Christian people said, "This is not true. There's no evidence that any taxing board thing was made back in Caesar Augustus' day. There's no writing of that in the Roman government." Well, Luke said there was. And lo and behold, one day there was a manuscript found in Roman writing that talked about the same thing that Luke mentioned. And all the ones that said Luke didn't know what he was talking about were proven wrong. Point being, Luke is a historian, and he writes a lot about history. So, Luke in the book of Acts, Luke the historian, is giving us a blow-by-blow account of some of the cities Paul visited, some of the men that were with him. And it's accurate history. But to be honest about it, looking at the text this morning, I'm not all that interested in digging into the details of all the cities and people that were working with Paul. I'd rather watch a flock of geese and listen to them as they make their way north to honor the Lord God by obeying him. And in fact, the very first day that I started working on this sermon, before I did, I took some garbage out early in the morning, and a flock of 37 geese flying high in the sky was headed north. And it was really a good way to start the day. When I started studying the text, I didn't feel quite that way. I'm not all that interested in history. And I'm more interested in nature. There are some people that are very interested in history. Good, that's great. And God uses that. But if I were writing a verse-by-verse commentary on Acts, I would dig into this myself also. I can't honestly say I'd really enjoy it. But I would do it. But I'm not writing a commentary or preaching and trying to give what the Holy Spirit is giving us and using the interests that I have to do it. So instead of spending hours and days on this, I will give you what the Holy Spirit is giving me and then move on. The history in Acts chapter 20, verses 1 through 16. This is it. Despite the fact that some Jews were keeping track of Paul wherever he went, miles and miles and miles away from Jerusalem even, they plotted to kill him, and they followed him around. And wherever he went, he had enemies. But the Holy Spirit protected Paul, and with some others working with him, the gospel of Jesus Christ was spreading throughout the whole world, just as Jesus said it would. And so here in this text, we have different cities, we have countries, we have other people that are working with Luke, and this is comforting beyond measure. I would stop there. But for my own good, at least, thank God there was a young man named Eutychus who took center stage, at least as far as what I was concerned. So this is what he says about Eutychus. And I'm not reading the whole text. As you know, I'm starting with verse 7. And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow. This is his farewell. And he continued his speech until midnight. Remember that, until midnight. And there were many lights in the upper chamber where they were gathered together. And these were not electric lights. They didn't have electricity in those days. These were lanterns that were burning with fire, and fire gives off heat. Remember that. And there sat in a window a certain young man. You know, when the Holy Spirit mentions a certain person, there's always something really important about that. And many, many times, the certain person can be a type of you and me. Is that true here? Maybe it is. And there sat in a window a certain young man named Eutychus, being fallen into a deep sleep. He was really sacked out. A deep sleep. And Paul was long preaching. This is inspired by the Holy Spirit, by the way. Remember this. Eutychus, being fallen into a deep sleep, and as Paul was long preaching, he, Eutychus, sunk down with sleep and fell down from the third loft and was taken up dead. And Paul went down and fell on him, and embracing him said, "Trouble not yourselves, for his life is in him." And when he therefore was come up again, Paul, when he was come back up again to the third story, and had broken bread and eaten, and talked a long while, remember, this is the Holy Spirit talking, he talked a long while, even till the break of day. And then he departed. And they brought the young man alive and were not a little comforted. Okay, this is the only time in Scripture that Eutychus is mentioned. But his claim to fame seems to last forever. He's the kid that fell asleep in an open window during Paul's sermon, and he fell down three stories to his death. So Eutychus is held up as an example of what not to do. You'd better not fall asleep in church when the preacher's preaching. But there's one thing that seems to be forgotten. And that is that there's another lesson here. And the other lesson is that preachers should be very careful not to preach so long that it causes the members to fall asleep. I've never heard that mentioned. But maybe that's the point. We're going to look a little deeper into this. The Holy Spirit does mention that Paul was long preaching. He went on and on and on and on and on and on. And finally, Eutychus couldn't stay awake. It has been said that a pastor is a man who will walk 100 miles to give a sermon, but he won't walk across the street to listen to one. And there's some truth to that. From the human side of things, it's easier to preach a sermon on a hot day than it is for the congregation to listen to one on a hot day. So maybe Paul learned a lesson here? You can't help but like Eutychus. For one thing, he was there. There were a lot of young people in that area that weren't there, but he was. And the fact that Eutychus was there counts for something. Maybe before he fell asleep, he heard some words that saved his soul. Who knows? And consider the situation. The people were in an upper chamber where there were many lights, and these were burning torches. And translation, it was hot. It was hot. Question, how many of us haven't been in such a situation? And how did that feel? And if there was an open window in the place, how many of us wouldn't have edged over to it? On the opposite of extreme, some of you can remember when we were holding services in the Westford Town Hall, and during the winter it was so cold you could see your breath. It was not hard preaching in cold weather, but you know it was hard listening. The point being, let anyone who would point the finger of guilt against Eutychus be the first one to cast a stone. I can remember when I was littler, sitting in church and wondering if the service was ever going to end. Or praying the general prayer, which was so long, I was wondering, is it ever going to end? It's the same feeling I had in school, waiting for the bell to ring, to end the class. Some of this stuff was so long that even God must have been bored with it. The point being, the story of Eutychus is your story and mine. And thank God there was a blessed ending. Eutychus was raised from the dead. So, a few extra thoughts. There's a lot we don't know about the thing concerning Eutychus. But there are things that we do know also when we read carefully under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. We know that Eutychus fell into a very, very deep sleep. And he was listening in a room that was very hot. There was a window, an open window. It was on the third story. And there was an open window there, and he went over to it and sat in it. And then Paul kept preaching, on and on and on and on. And then finally, Eutychus just fell asleep. What might have been some of the conditions that caused that? Well, number one, maybe Eutychus got up at 7:30 in the morning to deliver a paper out every day. Maybe he did that. Maybe at college he listened to professors lecture all day long. And maybe he had homework to do that night yet. And Paul talked on and on and on and on and seemed like he was never going to stop. And another thing we don't know, maybe Eutychus was not the only one who fell asleep. He's mentioned because he fell out of the window and killed himself. But my guess would be that there were others that were sleeping through this thing also. Truth. Not everything that Paul said was inspired by the Holy Spirit. And that's true of all the writers that the Holy Spirit used to inspire the Holy Bible. They weren't always inspired. The inspiration happened only at short periods of time and most always in recording the words of Scripture. So Paul was preaching on and on and on, and the Holy Spirit doesn't tell us what he was preaching about. I wonder why. I wonder why. Maybe what Paul was saying that bored Eutychus half to death was not inspired. Shortly after this, we're going to read what Paul did say when he called the elders of Ephesus to him, and he gave a long sermon which is filled with information, valuable information, was inspired by the Holy Spirit. And you can't sit through that and fall asleep. You just can't. So not everything these guys said was inspired. Peter was inspired when he wrote his two epistles. Peter was not inspired when, after Jesus told the disciples that he was going into Jerusalem and be handed over to the enemy and crucified and die, Peter wasn't inspired when he said, "Oh, no, no, Lord, that doesn't, you shouldn't do that. Don't do that. That's not the way this is going to work." And Peter was rebuked by Jesus. "Get thee behind me, Satan." The words that Peter spoke were inspired by the devil. It's the same temptation that the devil had made against Jesus during the three times he was on the mount right after he was baptized. One of them was he took him to the top of the mountain and showed him all the glory of all the kingdoms of all the world and said, "This I will give you if you just fall down and worship me. You'll be king of the whole creation. All you got to do is worship me. It only takes a second. You don't have to do it the hard way. You don't have to go to the cross. Do it the easy way." That was the temptation. Jesus didn't buy into it. So anyway, it's easier to talk for 10 hours than it is to listen for 10 hours. And if there's a villain in the text, I would say it was Paul. And hopefully he learned a lesson. Eutychus, I think all of us can relate to Eutychus. Haven't you ever in your life sat in a church service and almost fell asleep because it was so boring and so long? Haven't you had that experience? I had it. I even had it at the seminary in some of the classes. The key thing is, if you got something to say, say it and then stop. But don't drag on and on and on and on and on. Follow the Chinese proverb. If one does not know what to say, that is the time for one to remain silent. One of my classmates at the seminary, and there are people like this, there are people that love to hear themselves talk. And he would start talking, and he'd talk for a half hour, and you sit there and listen to that, and if you could divide it by 10, you'd come fairly close to what he was trying to say. There are people like that. There are preachers like that. And so perhaps Paul was the villain here. And we'll close on that note.